Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Gaizka Mendieta, and you listen to La Liga Lowdown.
Hi, I'm Pablo Machin. This is La Liga Lowdown.
And I'm David Garrido. Welcome along to this La Liga Lowdown mini-pod with Radio Stakhanov and broadcast on SiriusXM FC 157 in North America. We are recapping match day 16 in Spain's top division for you inside the next half an hour. So here's a taster of what's coming up. Barcelona blow away Levante. No prizes for guessing the star at the Estadio Ciudad de Valencia. Yes, Lionel Messi again, obviously. Real Madrid won, but only just. And at the Bernabeu, all really isn't well. Ewan has more.
Some days they show up and all the players are in. Other days they look like they'd rather be sat at home by the fire drinking mulled wine and watching Love Actually.
Atletico and Sevilla keep up with the leaders, while Betis keep up their recent good form, but Espanyol are in free fall. Here's Roman.
Players like Marroca and Borja Iglesias were being praised game after game, whereas now they are having discreet performances, and that surely has to do with their physical condition.
Leganés pick up another point in their survival fight at Celta, watch by Alex.
Pellegrino has found a system that works, the right pegs in the right holes. It's not always the most fun football to watch, but it is working, as their impressive unbeaten run shows.
Plus, we're analysing the Champions League last 16 draw for you too, and for the Europa League round of 32, it is Paco who's got all the info you need.
Sevilla are the clear favourites against Lazio, who are far behind the top of the Italian Serie A. I also think Villarreal improving under Luis García Plaza will make it through.
It's another jam-packed episode for you, and it's all on the way. Another week, another Messi masterclass. And while on match day 15, we witnessed the little Argentine's amazing precision from free kicks, this was all about him in open play. He was directly involved in every goal in their demolition of Levante by 5-0 away from home, scoring a hat-trick, assisting the other two goals, utterly irresistible.
Hardy turning into trouble. Red flag for danger up here. It's Messi. And still, and Suarez! Barcelona in front. Superb finish from Luis Suarez. Busquets, instant pass. Messi's onside. And he usually finishes. Of course, he finishes. Coolest man inside the stadium. Barca stretch out into a 2-0 lead.
Here's Alba.
And it's Messi! The cleanest of clean finishes from the best on the planet. He made that look ridiculously easy. Suarez. It's delightful. Vidal is unmarked. Here is Arturo Vidal. So unselfish. It's another hat-trick for Messi. And once again, Barcelona super clinical. Coutinho, lovely balance. Messi. And it's Piqué. Centre-forward's finish. Yes. Deserved that. He was adventurous. He wanted to get involved. And he finishes off as Barcelona go nap with a fifth.
So that's how the goals went in on 11 Sports in the UK. Very different outcome to this fixture last season, where Levante just about held out for a 5-4 victory and ended Barca's quest for an unbeaten league campaign in the penultimate match. So revenge was very sweet indeed for Los Culés this time around. In fact, Ernesto Valverde said that they targeted this game because of what happened in May. And props to him also for changing formation because Nelson Semedo was injured and Sergio Roberto is out too. Barcelona switched to three at the back, for Marlon, Longlet and Piqué. with Jordi Alba and Dembélé as wing-backs, Rakitic, Busquets and Vidal in midfield, Messi and Suarez up front, who Gerard Piqué described as the best attacking pair of the last few years. And Suarez in particular should really be applauded here. His superb volley finish for 1-0, his awareness to let the ball run past him to Messi for 3-0, and indeed the skill to create the chance for 4-0, and not passing to Messi immediately, but to Vidal to pass to Messi. Find the best moment to find the best player to find Leo, and he will do the rest. The only bad news was that Thomas Vermaelen will be out for around a month with a calf injury. Now, for a Levante point of view, let's chat to La Liga Lowdown's Paco Bolit. It's now just one win in six league games for them. Perhaps more worryingly than that, Levante have the third worst defense in La Liga right now, with 30 goals conceded. Only the bottom two, Huesca and Rayo have let in more. So, Paco, why is it happening, and how much is it to do with coach Paco López switching his formation to three at the back?
I don't really think having three at the back is to blame. In fact, the switch to this system was responsible for Levante's improvement back in the day. The problem is downright defending with the whole squad. Allowing 5 goals against Leo Messi is somehow expected, but obviously allowing 4 goals against Eibar, for example, is something that Levante can keep doing if they want to keep growing in the league. Therefore, I think that the risks taken are necessary and that playing this way, the Granotas will eventually win more games than lose. Remember, they won 1 month ago at Bernabeu with the same tactic, with the oh-so-slight difference of playing against a down-to-earth, downright vulgar Real Madrid and not a powerhouse such as Barca with their main man running the show.
Thanks, Paco. Well, now, an attractive game at the Estadio Ramón Sánchez Pizjuán, and get this, a 10th straight home win in all competitions for Sevilla, as Pablo Machin's old side, Girona, came to visit but left with nothing. Sevilla are such a strong team who are in a real sweet spot right now. Andre Silva was felled by Juanpe for a penalty, scored by Ever Banega to give Sevilla the lead after halftime, and then, not even 10 minutes later, a sweeping move was finished off by Pablo Sarabia for his 14th goal in domestic and European competition combined. It was simply beautiful to watch. Girona did threaten occasionally on the break, but they've suffered with injuries, and Sevilla were and are simply way more dangerous. They also haven't conceded at home in 412 minutes. Machin spoke about the connection between players and fans, that they're hooking in the support from the stands with their performances, and that they get it back too. Well, that is clear, and it just feels like every part of the team is working in perfect synchronicity. Vacek in goal, the wing-backs of Jesús Navas and Sergio Escudero tracking up and down, Ever Banega, Roque Mesa combining with Sarabia ahead of them, and of course, the strike force of Andre Silva and Wissam Ben Yedder. This Sevilla is for real, and it really bodes well. Now, Atletico Madrid hadn't won away in La Liga since September, and that run could have gone on as they let a 2-goal lead slip at Real Valladolid, only to then find a winner. A flowing move from Atleti to go ahead inside the half hour, Angel Correa to Antoine Griezmann, who swiftly played in Nikola Kalinic, who fired home. Yes, the Croat is definitely taking his chance in the absence of Diego Costa, who's had foot surgery. Griezmann made it 2-0 just before half-time, with a penalty for handball on Kiko Olivas from his own shot. But Valladolid were a different team in the second half. They scored from a corner, a header from centre-back Fernando Calero, and then just after the hour came the equaliser, again from a corner, Enes Unal with a header which deflected off Saul's knee and passed Jan Oblak. 2-2. The volume turned up several notches at the Estadio José Zorrilla, but Valladolid couldn't hold out for the points. Griezmann scored again after a goal-mouth scramble, and after the home side were frustrated they didn't get a penalty for handball on Santiago Arias, it finished Valladolid 2, Atletico 3. Funny times for Atleti. They used to be the kings of defending a narrow lead and defending set pieces. Now, yeah, not so much. Still, it's a win. An away win, and it's another greasy celebration. Not the Fortnite stuff, but a more classical dance instead, for some reason. Diego Simeone said that he's proud of how his side played to turn the game back in their favour, whereas other teams would have lost. He's also made some other slightly controversial remarks about Thibaut Courtois and Luka Modric winning FIFA awards because it was helped by them both being at Real Madrid. Well, Courtois hit back at those comments by claiming that Simeone criticises Madrid to gain popularity with his own fans. To be honest, it's not like Madrid have much of that right now anyway. Yes, they won against Rayo Vallecano, but it should have been far more comfortable than 1-0, especially after Karim Benzema scored on 13 minutes after a lovely little pass through from Lucas Vazquez. But Marco Asensio blew one good chance and was denied on another occasion by Stolar Dumitrescu. And at the other end, Emiliano Velázquez headed wide and Courtois had to make a double save in second half, stopping stoppage time to assure that Madrid kept all 3 points. And here's another worrying thing. The fans are starting to vote with their feet. Only 55,000 were there in attendance, and the Estadio Bernabeu is an 81,000 capacity stadium. So many questions to ask La Liga Lowdown's man in Madrid, Ewan McTeer. Ewan, they've won 9 out of 11 under Santi Solari, which doesn't sound that bad. But what do you see as his biggest weakness at the moment? And similarly, what is he doing well?
The biggest weakness from my point of view is the varying intensity. Some days they show up and all the players are in. Other days they look like they'd rather be sat at home by the fire drinking mulled wine and watching Love Actually. This seemed to be the case in the 2-3-0 defeats to Eibar and CSK Moscow, with Sergio Ramos even explicitly admitting that the attitude wasn't right for the Eibar loss. One thing Solari is doing well though is that he's back in youth. There are 4 players aged 23 or under in his most used 11, namely Odriozola, Llorente, Asensio and Ceballos. Sure, injuries have played a part in their increased participation, but he's certainly trusting youth more than Lopetegui did. It's also telling that 20-year-old Fede Valverde is the joint most used substitute, along with Isco, with 5 introductions.
So Madrid are now in Abu Dhabi for the Club World Cup. They've seen their potential final opponents close up in their own stadium, River Plate, who won the Copa Libertadores, eventually. So how crucial is it for the reign of Solari that he picks up his first trophy as Madrid coach before Christmas and also playing good football?
I think it's very important that Real Madrid win this trophy. We saw how much of a setback losing the UEFA Super Cup was for Lopetegui at the start of his reign, with his credibility immediately undermined by that loss to rivals Atletico Madrid. If Solari can start off with a piece of silverware, then he'll have some hardware to point to as he goes towards the business end of the season. Whether or not they play good football probably doesn't matter. Even in Spain, where one of Barcelona or Real Madrid is usually participating in the Club World Cup, this tournament isn't the biggest deal, and I think most fans will check out the highlights of the matches and little more. All that matters is that Real Madrid return home with that World Championship badge still stuck to their shirts. To have it peeled off would be the ultimate humiliation, like when an officer has to hand over his police badge in every buddy cop movie.
Thank you, Ewan. Well, we'll stay in the capital as one team who've been quietly climbing the table are the perhaps unfashionable but oh so effective Getafe. That was exactly what they were in their 1-0 win over Real Sociedad, and even deprived of forward Jaime Mata, who was suspended, and Amatin Diaye, who was out with a long-term injury, it was a strike force of 31-year-old Angel and 36-year-old Jorge Molina, who took to the pitch, and the latter who scored inside 3 minutes. A ball through the middle with Gaku Shibazaki latching onto it caused confusion between Andoni Gorosabal and keeper Miguel Angel Moya, and his clearance was volleyed back over his head by Jorge Molina for the only goal, which he dedicated to Amat. Well, Juanmi had a couple of chances, but he was denied by David Soria on both occasions, so 1-0 it finished. It means that Getafe are up to 6th. They've only lost once in 8 league games. They may only have scored 17 goals, but they've conceded just 12, and that is the joint fewest in the division, along with Atletico. Well, Jorge Molina himself, the important thing was having 24 points, not their position in the table, while boss Pepe Bordalas in particular praised Shibasaki, who has improved and adapted to the team, although they could well miss him for most of January, as he'll be at the Asian Cup with Japan. We'll take the briefest of breaks, but we'll be back with part 2 of this La Liga Lowdown mini-pod very shortly.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, welcome back to this La Liga Lowdown mini-pod with Reda Sukarnov and broadcast on SiriusXM FC 157 in North America as we recap match day 16 in Spain's top division. Five games down, five to go, and we're exclusively in the north of Spain for this second part of the show. To Galicia, first of all, to check on a new feel Celta Vigo under Miguel Cardoso. They were playing Leganés in the Friday night game, which ended as a goalless draw. There should have been goals in this one, but both keepers were in excellent form. Rubén Blanco to deny Youssef En-Nesyri in particular, and Pichu Cuellar with an incredible save to stop Bryce Mendes from close range. It seems like Celta are enjoying their football. They have a strategy. Things are better organised behind the scenes. What about Leganés, though? It is now 8 games unbeaten, 6 of them in La Liga, including 4 clean sheets. So how have they done it? And what have been the main traits of this side of late under Mauricio Pellegrino? La Liga Lowdown's Alex Johnson watched this game at Balaidos.
If we start with the match I just witnessed, we have to point out that they have had quite a lot of luck. Maxi Gomez hit the post, he hit the bar, Cuellar made an unbelievable save. On any other day, this could have been a 3-0 win for Celta, but there is a saying, the more you train, the luckier you get. And we did get to see a very strong defense from Leganés. They parked their cucumber bus, sure, but they did it with structure, with attitude. Pellegrino has found a system that works, the right pegs in the right holes. It's not always the most fun football to watch, but it is working, as their impressive unbeaten run shows. Even though tonight they barely made it over the halfway line, looking at their latest matches, they've also found a front two that works very well in En-Nesyri and Carrillo. It's the whole package of what they do and how they do it.
Cheers, Alex. The Monday night game was a Basque derby with Alaves trying to keep up with the top teams as they welcomed Athletic Club 2 minutes Orota and Athletic settling into life under Gaisca Garitano. This was another 0-0 draw. The main talking points were Iker Muniain and Iñaki Williams not being in the starting 11 for the visitors. Both came on as subs but couldn't affect the game. Both Fernando Pacheco in the Alaves goal and Iago Herrerín in the Athletic goal were comfortable enough when called upon. This game had precious few chances. Garitano said getting out of the danger zone is about keeping clean sheets, and Alaves still haven't lost at home. And that's it, really nothing more to say. Now we'll be back in the Basque Country in a moment, but let's head to Catalonia, where Espanyol are in free fall. It's now 5 straight La Liga losses, conceding 15 goals following their defeat at home to Real Betis by 3-1. What's even more galling is that they started off by saving a penalty. Diego López keeping out Giovanni Lo Celso's spot kick and the follow-up from Loren Moron, and then took the lead through Sergio Garcia, tapping in after Leo Baptista had galloped down the right flank. But if that run was good, the one from Sergio Canales down Betis' left wing was even better, outpacing Marc Roca and playing into Lo Celso, who made amends for his missed pen just before half-time. It stayed 1-1 until 85 minutes when Cristian Tello, a first-half substitute for Junior Firpo, fired home a free kick from 30 yards out for Betis, who then sealed the win with an own goal from Oscar Duarte from Lo Celso's attempted cross. Espanyol coach Rubi offered his apologies to the fans for their bad run, saying that they went for the win at 1-1 but lost patience, and that the team are worried but they want to turn things around. And to do that, David Lopez says there's only one recipe: hard work and tackle. Sacrifice. A Paolo Lopez, formerly of Espanyol and now with Betis, celebrated the third goal in front of the home fans and got some nasty responses in return. Such was the controversial feeling around the end of his time in Cornellà. So we have Espanyol having 5 straight La Liga defeats, and now Betis have 5 straight wins in all competitions. So how do we assess these two completely different runs of form? The man to ask is our Román de Arquer.
Espanyol are where we expected them to be at the beginning of the season, in the bottom half of the table and often losing games. But after that smashing start, everyone is now wondering why this is happening. Yet it's important to remember that they barely completed any signings last summer and that the team bench isn't very deep. Players like Marroca and Borja Iglesias were being praised game after game, whereas now they are having discrete performances, and that surely has to do with their physical condition. So I don't think it's much about other teams understanding Espanyol's tactics better, but rather a significant decrease in the team's production. Whereas Betis are kind of the opposite example. They started worse than expected after many brilliant signings, and now they're finally finding their groove. They have to make the most of the Europa League break to keep this up and go on collecting points. They'll be facing teams such as Eibar, Huesca, Girona, Athletic and Leganés, among others, against which they're surely favourites. It's a great opportunity for Setién to prove that Betis can be near the top of the standings with this entertaining and creative football style.
Thanks, Román. So, not an ideal situation for Espanyol, but let's hear what the fans think. Here are Carlos and Rodrigo.
Espanyol is in the middle of a horrific crisis. Manager Rubi doesn't seem to know how to get out of it. He keeps changing the startup players. Changes on during the game are not the correct ones. And last game on Sunday, Betis played brilliant football and Espanyol didn't have a chance to win.
I really believe in these guys. I don't see an attitude problem. So I think they can recover this situation. I'm sure the good results will come back. The point to improve, I think, it's the number of players we have. I think we have a short team, and I think that the solution would be to sign any player in order to be stronger in the second part of the season.
Another Valencia game, another draw. Well, wouldn't you believe it? It finished 1-1 for Los Che away to Eibar. Valencia taking the lead as Daniel Vaz exchanged passes with Dani Parejo and then crossed to the far post for Rodrigo to turn home his first goal in the league since the opening day against Atletico. That's almost 4 months. But the equaliser came through a Charles penalty after Ruben Peña's cross flicked Jose Gaya's hand on its way through. Yes, the defender's arm was raised. Jose Angel also struck the bar from a free kick for the home side after that, but 1-1 it finished. Marcelino said afterwards that it was a very strange decision for the penalty, but that we have to accept VAR. It's just that he'd like to know exactly what constitutes a penalty for handball. Rodrigo hinted at inconsistency amongst the officials, said he didn't know what the refs see. Some things are blown for in some games, other times not. Eibar coach José Luis Mendilibar said it was a good point, and indeed Eibar are doing okay at the moment. Mid-table, 1 defeat in 7 in all competitions. Let's go back to Alex Johnson on this one. Alex, who's impressing you in this Eibar team right now, and what else is generally helping them stay competitive in La Liga and also stay clear of that relegation zone?
Well, David, one player who has impressed on me and many with me is Marc Cucurella. Mendilibar's decision to play him as a wide midfielder instead of a fullback in their 4-4-2 setup couldn't have worked out better. He got pace and power, but the main thing about this kid is that he is smart. Mendilibar saying after his brilliant performance against Real Madrid the other week that he's the smartest kid in class. He's clever and he makes the right decisions. Another player to point out is Charles. 3 goals in the last 2 La Liga matches. He's getting the ones that matter. With all that said, Eibar's main strength this season is the collective. And more than anything, the way they press, the way they counterattack, and the mentality the players are showing out on that pitch. It's the Eibar way of doing things. It has taken them to La Liga, and it is what is keeping them here too.
Thanks, Alex. The final game to review was the one at the Estadio El Alcoraz on Sunday evening between bottom side Huesca and fourth bottom Villarreal, who just appointed Luis García Plaza to replace Javi Calleja as head coach. Things didn't start well for the new man. Gonzalo Moreno brought down the box just before half-time, Cucho Hernandez converting the ensuing penalty for 1-0. But Villarreal got back in it in the second half in similar fashion. Fellow Colombian Carlos Bacca appended, a VAR confirming the spot kick, which Bacca dispatched confidently for his 3rd goal in 2 La Liga games. And then a third 10 minutes later, again Gonzalo Moreno fouled and Mario Gaspar sent off, but this time the Huesca captain couldn't beat Sergio Asenjo in the Villarreal goal. The visitors went in front on 81 minutes. Gerard Moreno diverting Alfonso Pedraza's cross past Alexander Jovanovic for 1-2, but Huesca's equaliser came deep in stoppage time. Samuel Elon got pouncing after Cucho Hernandez has had 2 shots from an acute angle. Gutting for Luis García Plaza not to build on Thursday's win over Sparta at Moscow in the Europa League with another one here, whereas Huesca still haven't won since the opening day in League or Cup. That is 17 games. Francisco says they're close, but that they're still exposed to counterattacks when they pile forward into the opposition half, especially at home. Well, this was our chosen match on Partidazo Predictions. It's a video we do on our YouTube channel on Friday, so go check it out. The channel URL is youtube.com/C/LaLigaLowdown, or simply put La Liga Lowdown into your search engine. 3 points for the right scoreline, 1 point for just the right result. Well, Paco had all 3 points in his grasp until the 94th minute. Instead, I pick up a single point for saying that it would end as a draw. So here is how the overall table looks. Paco is on 14 points, Ewan 13. I'm up to 9, Roman is on 8, and Alex has 7. Well, that's Matchday 16 done and dusted. Here's the La Liga table. Barcelona top on 34 points, then Sevilla second and Atletico Madrid third, both on 31 points. Real Madrid fourth on 29 points. At the bottom, Huesca have 8 points, Rayo are second bottom on 10, Athletic Club and Villarreal both on 15 points. Of course, on Monday, we also had the draws for the first knockout rounds of the Champions League and Europa League. Let's start off with the quest for the European Cup. Last 16 looks straightforward enough for Barcelona, away first against Lyon, and also Real Madrid away first against Ajax, whereas Atletico face Juventus, starting off at the Wanda Metropolitano. That might be a mite trickier. Here's Ewan McTeer.
Atletico knew they'd probably have to pay a price for coming second, and that price is a tie with a team many are backing to go all the way. But I think Juventus will be unhappier with this draw than Atletico. Simeone will be able to set his side up to defend and to do some damage on the break Interestingly, this is just the third official meeting between these sides after they played each other in the 2014-15 groups, with one goalless draw in Turin and a 1-0 win for Atletico at the Calderon. This is going to be quite a tie. As for the other Spanish sides, I think you're right when you say they look straightforward. Lyon haven't been in the knockouts since 2012, and Ajax haven't gone this far since 2006. Both clubs have improved this season, but they're still nowhere near the elite level of Barcelona and Real Madrid.
Cheers, Ewan. And Paco's back to give us his thoughts on the Europa League last 32 draw. For the Spanish sides involved, it turned out like this. Sevilla kick off their tie away to Lazio in Italy, while for Valencia, it's a trip to Scotland first to face Celtic. Betis are also on the road to start off with to take on the French side Rennes, while Villarreal cross the Iberian Peninsula to play Sporting Club in Lisbon in their first leg. Paco, what's your take on all that?
I believe the Europa League draw was somehow benevolent for Spanish sides. For example, Sevilla are the clear favourites against Lazio, who are far behind the top of the Italian Serie A. I also think Villarreal improving under Luis García Plaza will make it through to the next round against Sporting Lisbon. Betis also might play the easiest fixture against French side Rennes, who are completing a quite disappointing season and should be easily beaten by Los Beticos. And finally, Valencia, Celtic Park, great atmosphere, serious doubts cast upon the current state of the team, and also Marcelino García Toral himself. I really don't know. It's early for predictions, but if Valencia are unable to improve in January a lot, I don't really see them as the favourites in these matchups.
Thank you, Paco. Well, just before we go, just a reminder to check out our Twitter feed. It's being updated all the time with all of the squad involved. We are at La Liga Lowdown on Twitter. Plus, there's our YouTube channel. Once again, the URL is youtube.com/C/La Liga Lowdown, or put La Liga Lowdown into your search engine. And also feel free to give us a decent review and 5 stars if you like what you've heard on this podcast. That's your La Liga Lowdown. See you next time.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.